Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi and welcome to the podcast. I hope you're well. We had a fantastic time at our Sober by the Sea event last weekend in Funky Southend in Essex. It was just such a great day. That's kind of what I've been thinking about all week. So we had such a lovely time. And I got the most amazing review in just now, so I thought I'd read this to you. One of the participants said, "I attended Sober by the Sea out of curiosity, and this time curiosity did not kill the cat. It was a revelation. Janie was warm, friendly and very knowledgeable. The atmosphere was non-judgmental and the activities, especially the vision boards, were fascinating and the results at times were surprising. I was lucky enough to be with a great group of women. The real life connections were incredibly important, and the combination of all these things led me to come away inspired and energized. And a special mention for the lovely venue, literally by the sea, and Janie's daughter's fantastic vegan chocolate cake. Do it. I promise you won't regret it that you did." That's from Claire. Thank you so much, Claire. Yeah, we really did have a great day. And yeah, the vegan chocolate cake was super good. So if that's something you're interested in, we do have space on our next one, which is August the 21st. Check that out. On that note, I'm going to be talking with a guy probably next week, who I met in Southend, who's doing some fantastic work in the local community, setting up socials for people who don't drink, just, you know, literally kind of using venues and fundraising just for to find some stuff for people to do who want to just meet up with other like-minded people. So there's definitely stuff going down. And isn't it amazing, just the more people normalize not drinking, that's what I love, you know, let's make it completely normal to choose not to drink as to choose to drink. Of course, it gets so much easier when we have great alcohol-free drinks as alternatives. This week, I want to tell you about a completely new alcohol-free drink that I've come across, which is so unique. I was so impressed, because obviously there are lots and lots of alcohol-free beers on the market. There are lots of alcohol-free wines and fizzes and lots of spirits. But Bemuse Drinks have done something really completely different. They launched in June, I think it was. I think they're very new as a kind of startup in the low, no bev alcohol sector, is where they launched at a trade show. And they're already on the drinks menu of one of the most established London restaurants, Franco. Franco's. It's the one on German Street, if you know London. It's a really old Italian restaurant that's been there since 1945 and really, you know, well known for its finest quality food and drinks. So, of course, they're going to stock Bemuse, which I haven't even told you yet, is an alcohol-free mead. So I bet you haven't heard that word in a long time. Because we tend to think of it as, you know, tremendously kind of old fashioned, but they've done a brand new reboot. So the founders are Natalia and Anna, and Natalia has a passion for creating and developing exciting market innovations, and worked in all kinds of fields, developing and testing new products, and worked with lots of well-known alcohol and soft drinks companies to develop new flavors. And then the co-founder, Anna, is a passionate consumer of low alcohol drinks. And that started for her, really, as it did for me, actually, when her first child was born. Her first child was born 16 years ago. And she was saying how back then there were so few options. Absolutely true, for people who didn't want to drink alcohol. So Natalia and Anna together decided to look at the market really creatively, and rather than adding another no or low alcohol beer or spirit, they decided to create a completely new drink experience. So they've revived this ancient drink. It is an ancient drink, isn't it? But reinvented it with this modern and appealing kind of twist. So Bemuse, as they say, is a story of two passions combined. It's a low alcohol sparkling sparkling mead, completely new drinking experience, and some really great flavors. Obviously, when you think of mead, obviously honey is the you know, the taste that you think of is the sweetness in it. And they've got a raspberry flavour. They've got a tarragon, basil and hops sparkling mead, a hops infused sparkling mead. And the one that I am really loving is the ginger and cardamom sparkling mead with apple blossom honey. It is super nice. It's a really unusual drink. So I'd urge you to check out bemusedrinks.com. And we're going to have a competition as well to give some away. So there's a good kickoff for today's podcast, a recommendation for a great alcohol-free drink that you can try out. You know my phrase. If it's your first time listening to the podcast, I'll deliver it to you again. Keep the ritual, change the ingredients. Don't do that thing of saying to yourself, well, I'm not drinking alcohol, so you know what? I'll manage with a warm orange juice. I'll manage with a cup of tea. I don't think you will for very long, because your little inner toddler will get very frustrated when other people are having nice innovative drinks, you know. And it doesn't have to be an alcoholic replacement. It can be, you know, as I say, something unusual. There are so many amazing choices, so find yourself something that works. The Bemuse cans are really pretty, by the way, really nice packaging. So I've mentioned Sober by the Sea. I've told you how to get in touch if that's of interest to you. Must remind you that there's another date at Champneys as well in September. I think there are still places on that, so if that's of interest, get in touch. What else was I going to tell you about? Oh, yet another article. I had a big rant last week, didn't I, about the Michael Mosley piece. And yet another article. I don't have it in front of me, but the headline was something like a glass of white wine delays the menopause. That was the headline. Words to that effect. You can delay the menopause by drinking white wine. Do you know what? I don't think so. I really don't think so. That's all I'm going to say. Don't get me started. Oh, just don't buy this stuff. This is what kept me stuck for so many years. Seeing those kinds of articles, I'd have loved that one. I mean, if it really is true, the amount of white wine I had, I shouldn't be hitting menopause till I'm about 80, because I think I've had my fair share. It's absolutely crazy. There's no doubt, by the way, just in case you are new to all of this, there's no doubt at all that drinking alcohol will make your menopause symptoms worse, both physically and emotionally. You know, we talk a lot about the physical benefits of ditching the booze. You know, you will over time notice that your weight will regulate. It might take a little while, won't happen in the first couple of months often. You absolutely will notice you sleep better. Again, might not happen for a little while. You will look better. You'll lose that awful kind of bloated look. Most people end up at least feeling as though they look younger, whether they do or not. Lots of you have heard me say that a friend I hadn't seen for ages thought that I'd had a facelift, which was a very nice compliment. God knows how awful I looked before I stopped. Your hair will get lovely and shiny, sober hair. You'll have loads more energy. And that's just for starters. But the emotional benefits, I mean, really, just too many to even mention. And they go so deep, we can't even flippantly, you know, kind of mention them in passing, because they're just massive. You just become a different person. You become the person you're meant to be. That's what happens when you ditch the booze. You become the authentic you. If you've been someone who has been drinking too much, been drinking more than you want to, if you're someone who doesn't have an off switch and wakes, as I used to, at 3 a.m. with your little voice from your conscience just saying, what the hell are you doing to yourself? Just quit with this stuff. You know, if you have that voice, then you've got to trust me. This is how you become. You have the life you want. You know, you step into the life you love. And it's through ditching the booze. So anyways, lots of you heard me say it lots of times. Many of the listeners to this podcast have been sober for years now. Many of my Sober Club members, I do have some people on day one and a few months in. And then we have many members who are 1, 2, 3 years sober. I think I've got one member who's 5 years sober. Because it's all about what's next, isn't it? It's all about what else can we do? What else can we add in? How can we help other people? You know, there's a real kind of vibe of a giving back. So if you're new to all of this, you just got to trust me here. It is worth it. And this emotional piece, this knowing how to really take notice of your thoughts and get back in the driver's seat of your own life, leads me very nicely to introduce my guest this week, who is a woman that I came across. I feel as though I should have known her years ago, because we've kind of done a lot of similar things in our lives, certainly in terms of personal development, and we're both authors and speakers. But when I was on, when I did a show on Feel Good Factor TV early in the year, Sue Stone was also one of the presenters on there. And I remember looking at some of her stuff and thinking, she's great. I love what she's doing. And then I got a chance to look at her book called The Power Within You Now, Rocket Fuel for Your Mind, Body and Soul. Great title. A Simple Guide to Create the Life You Love. And I thought, wow, we have to have her on the podcast. Not because of any alcohol story that's going on, but because, you know, she's really been there, done it, got the t-shirt in terms of being really down on her luck, and was literally able to turn her life around, literally transform her own life. So of course now she's in a great position to be able to share that with you know, share that experience with other people. So without further ado, let me introduce you to Sue Stone. Hey Sue, how are you? It's so lovely to chat to you. I mean, I know we're not exactly meeting in the flesh or anything, but you know, Zoom, next best thing, eh?
Yeah, absolutely, Jamie, and good to properly connect.
Yeah, it really is lovely to chat to you. And, you know, I read a little bit about your story, and I mean, wow, you know, you've kind of been there to the brink, as it were, and this amazing transformation that you've had. And obviously we'll talk about the work that you do now and about your book. But just take us back then and tell, you know, for anyone who hasn't read your incredible path to where you are now, tell us a bit about what happened.
Oh yeah, it was a very, very, very real experience and story that I was hugely embarrassed about all those years ago, just how bad my life had got. And I'd split up with my husband, and I had a belief at the time that once one thing went wrong, a load of other things would go wrong. And I had no idea what a self-fulfilling prophecy that was actually going to be. And things literally did go from bad to worse. And I was, oh, trust me, I was doing it all wrong. I was getting credit cards to fund loans and loans to fund mortgages, desperately trying to keep things going, and had a car I couldn't afford, and, you know, on high finance and all this sort of thing. And it was all just a built up of my married life of just trying to keep things going and then getting left with all the debt once we actually split up. So it was a very dramatic, fearful time of my life. And
I mean, didn't you end up kind of down to your last tenor with
yeah, that's what I was
children
gonna say.
To look that, after yeah
that was yeah. Literally the turning point, when one day I realized I was maxed out on every single bank account I had, the credit cards and loans, and I couldn't get my hands on a single penny. And I raced to my bag and I had £10, and wow, that was it. That was absolutely the case. No idea where the next penny was coming from, and three young children to feed, and the bank about to repossess my home. So yeah, it was a bit of a scary time. I was consumed with fear and desperation.
Just out of interest, do you still see, you know, is that as prevalent now, do you think, for women, in, you know, in who find themselves just sort of maxing out credit cards? Do you think there's as much of that goes on?
I don't know now, but in those days, I think, yeah, getting credit cards and things, but I mean we all did it. It was like trying to just keep things going. My ex-husband was doing it, I was doing it. I guess I hoped things were going to get better. And it was all I knew what to do, and I was just using credit cards to survive. But it was my wake-up call. I know lots of people that live off credit cards, and I'm not going to judge anyone for that, because I've been, you know, done it all. But obviously that was part of my big learning, is you get to the breakdown before you have the breakthrough. And I woke up and started researching ways to change my life.
Yeah. So how did you get out of it? How did you get out of the funk then?
Well, it was obviously the following day. I remember waking up having a little cry and thinking, oh my God, how my life come to this? And thinking, but I knew at some level, I thought, right, Sue Stone, if you don't do something to help yourself, no one's going to do it for you. And I had to take some very practical steps. Obviously, I was speaking to all my creditors anyway. I wasn't ignoring them all. I had to get rid of my car, my very expensive car, which was on finance that I couldn't afford. And I bought, my sister gave me £200 and I bought a little A-registered Mazda. It was this green metallic wrapped Mazda. I didn't even think you could buy a car that worked for £200. Yeah, but it had electric windows and automatic. It was amazing. And it was a hugely humbling and liberating experience. So I had to take lots of practical steps. And talk to people. But my main focus was starting to realize and understand the power of our thoughts. I started studying quantum physics and all this sort of thing and neuroscience, and just realizing that we get more of what we focus on in life. And I realized I was focusing on all the things I didn't want and all the things I was fearing and all the things I was worrying about. And at some level, our brain kind of filters that out. And the laws of the universe come into play as well. And it was that making it my mission to work on myself, to work on my thinking, and start focusing on where I wanted to get to, not where I didn't. That was it, apart from the practical steps. And then go through that transition of personal change. We have to take responsibility, don't we?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I can only begin to imagine that there'll be people listening to this who've had, you know, a not dissimilar experience across lockdown, you know, when everything sort of locked up and people, you know, everything kind of closed in on, you know, certainly even some people I know who found themselves in a position where they, you know, they're a single mum, they're on the, I don't know, the third or fourth floor or whatever. So there's not even a garden for their kids. They're trying to home educate and work. There's not enough money. I mean, you know, it's, and they're not getting any connection. You can kind of understand why people just turn to booze and why that seems like the answer is the only bit of stability in their life, can't you, really?
I've got to be honest, at the time I was horribly embarrassed, but when I was had my last £10, I remember thinking, okay, I've got to buy sausages and potatoes for the kids or something cheap to feed the kids. I had to put a few pounds worth of petrol in the car. But my overriding desire was, I've got to make sure I've got enough money for a cheap bottle of wine. As I say, I was horribly embarrassed about that at the time. But then it was actually it was a Daily Express journalist many, many years ago said, Sue, if you could have the courage to share that story.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think you'll find so many people can relate to it. And it did, it helped numb the pain. I mean, it really did. So I have been, talking to a lot of people through the lockdown, anyone that's reached out to me, because it felt like my own mini lockdown all those years ago. And the mental health impacts, the financial impacts, it's been huge on people. So I have been talking to a lot of people.
Doing
my best to help them and give them some positivity to keep
absolutely
going.
And you know, as you say in your book, and as you've already just mentioned, it's a real game changer when you can grasp that, you know, you can have some control back over your thoughts. And you know, why isn't this stuff taught in schools? That's what always freaks me out. Why the hell aren't we learning that, you know, instead of the algebra that I'll never use? Wouldn't it be different if everyone, you know, was helped to understand that, okay, you've got a little voice in your head that tells you you're not good enough, you know, an inner critic or whatever, but you can actually take back some control.
I spot on, Janie, I couldn't agree with you more. How many people over the years since I've been doing this, and it only evolved me doing what I do, was because so many people, friends, once I, shall we say, took control of my thoughts and my thinking, got my inner world right, my outer world obviously started to affect, you know, take place, and I felt inner peace again. I'd forgotten what it felt like to be happy. So, and friends said, oh, you helped me see life in a different way. And of course, since then, and that's in 2005, I literally came out, I bought the domain name SueStone.com and thought, what do I do next? You know, I had no idea, but the thought of helping empower people to be happy and have inner peace. So the number of people over the years have said, oh, this should be taught in schools, which I'm totally agreeing with you. But I think my main focus has been to keep things simple for people, because when you understand why and how this stuff works and why it is so important to be positive at every level, it makes it so obvious why we should change our thinking. And it's not just about being positive and having lots of trauma behind, you know, it's dealing with the trauma and the dis-ease, of course. And we talk a lot about things that people can do, transformational tools to help. But I totally agree with you. I've made it a bit of a mission to spread the message to people, because if I can change my world around at every level, anyone can. I'm a single mum with three kids.
Yeah, absolutely. So your book, The Power Within You Now, Rocket Fuel for Your Mind, Body and Soul. I love that strap line. It's great. A simple guide to create the life you love. So, you know, what do you mean by that expression then, rocket fuel?
Well, it came to me actually, rocket fuel for your mind, body and soul. Woohoo. It came to me when I was walking across the back fields, and I just thought it's about giving fuel, you know, rocket fuel. We imagine this sort of real propelling your life into its greatness. And we can all do that, but we've got to work on our mind, our body and our soul really at every level. So I just explained through my book, Quantum Physics Made Simple, which most people go, oh, what's that? But it's how we create our reality with our thoughts and our emotions. Neuroscience Made Simple, when we can very simply, people think, oh, it's in the genes, I'm hardwired that way. No, we're not. We now know we can create new neural pathways in our brain and how we can do that. And it is very exciting. Anything is possible if we start to believe it, and we can. It is about propelling, or, you know, giving yourself the rocket fuel to propel yourself into your greatness.
Yeah, absolutely.
To whatever, but it just came to me.
I like the fact that, you know, you mentioned you studied quantum physics and stuff, because, you know, obviously when we talk in this kind of terms, as it were, you know, there are people who'll be thinking, oh, for God's sake, you know, it's all way too woo woo, you know, and of course I can't manifest that I will, you know, have £1 million or whatever I want to manifest. It's just absolute nonsense. But actually this stuff is rooted in science, isn't it?
It is. And that's what I love, is that I've got this, it's actually ancient wisdom that's been around since the beginning of time. Visualize it, feel it, see it, start to believe it, and take the inspired action towards your goals. Of course, quantum physics now backs up. And of course, as the years have gone by, we've now got the equipment to measure the electromagnetic waves and how our heart is so much more powerful than our brain and things. So it's the emotion behind the thoughts that we're having is the energy emotion. So when people say, oh, like you just said, it's woo woo fluffy stuff, I said, actually, no, it's not. It's worth putting, and science now has proven that everything is energy. And the other thing, just talk about woo woo, which I love this, is that they've now proven that every single cell, for want of a better word, in our universe is connected to every single other one. They've proven that mathematically. So when people say we're all connected, we're all one, I used to think that was completely woo-woo, but actually it's true. We are all connected. And that's where the vibrational resonance comes in. Two things in vibrational resonance with each other are drawn together, that like attracts like and type thing, you know.
Absolutely.
We call it the law of attraction these days. But and the indicator of the vibration you're on is the way you're feeling. So if we're feeling really fearful and low and desperate, unfortunately vibrationally we tend to draw to ourselves more things on that vibration. So it's so important to just feel gratitude for what is good in your life rather than what we feel is what's lacking. And those were the simple steps I took, is focusing on the gratitude for the good rather than, even though it felt like there wasn't much to be grateful for, that was my deliberate thing. This moment is all I've got. I might as well be grateful for the good in my life.
Yeah, it's a good starting point, isn't it? Focusing on the blessings, because there's always something, as you say, that we do have. And it is all about how we react, isn't it? Because, you know, one an experience for one person might be completely different, you know, for another. I can't remember which guest I was interviewing, but we were having a whole conversation about Viktor Frankl's book, One Man's Search for Meaning. And you know, those kind of books are just, you know, you read those kind of books and you think, oh my goodness, I could never be like that. I could never, you know, cope if things were bad. But it is all about how you sort out, you know, what's going on in your head, as you say. I love some of the chapters in the book. You talk about the, well, your first chapter is Never Give Up on Your Dreams. Why do we do that, do you think? Do you think we all start off having kind of dreams and stuff we want, and then over time it just kind of gets squished?
I think I've seen this a lot, that you say, look at the children at school, and they say, what do you want to be when you're older? Mm. And they want to be an astronaut, they want to be this, they want to be that. And then ask that same kid at 14, and no, I don't know what I want to be, because they've maybe, I've seen it all the time, parents say, you'll never achieve if you don't do this. And or even teachers, dare I say it, say, you're never going to make it in life if you carry on the way you are. And I know they're maybe trying to do it for the right reasons, but if people hear it enough that they're not good enough and they'll never achieve, unfortunately, that's what we absorb as a belief.
Yeah,
and it's in our consciousness.
Yeah.
So
do you think it's a good idea then to... Sorry, carry on.
No, I was just going to say, it's about having patience, perseverance, just keeping going in life, one day at a time, doing something, one action step towards achieving your goals. But also, my main focus, and has been for a long time, is I think I've only got the now, so I might as well really focus on being the, shall we say, the best version of me in the now, because this is the only moment we've got.
And yeah, absolutely.
Truly one of my biggest breakthroughs was to realize that this moment right now,
whatever's
going on out there, why do I want to think about thoughts that make me miserable? Because this is the only moment I've got.
Yeah, I loved it when someone reminded me of that. And I can't remember who initially, you probably know who wrote the book and did the thesis, but this concept that actually, you know, a negative thought will only last about 90 seconds. And then you've actually got to recreate the next shit thought. So technically you can literally focus on, do you know what? Okay, so I've just been in that place of fear or panic or worry or angst, but you know what? I'm going to choose a different thought now. But you have to be able to put the pause in and remember to choose the positivity.
Yeah, and that is absolutely spot on. I would say you've got to learn to convert the inner critic to be your inner coach. And I used to be the expert at doing it all wrong. If something would trigger me, like a bill would turn up, and then my stomach would go. My head, the inner critic would kick in. And if I wasn't careful, before I knew it, I would have turned that into the most dramatic scene in my head of, I'm going to be homeless. How am I ever going to survive? I'm never going to be able to feed my children. And before you know it, we have created this incredible drama in our minds. And you feel even worse. And so I bring in the inner critic and think, actually, I acknowledge you, negative thought, but I'm not going to feed you right now, because right now I don't know how I'm going to pay that bill. But all I know is I'm now going to focus on seeing the solution. I'm going to focus on all the ways money can turn up in my life, and I'm going to be, shall we say, solution conscious, not problem conscious. But as you quite rightly say, you've got to be living consciously and in enough awareness that you nip it in the bud before you turn it into the drama.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us a few of your top tips then for somebody who is quite new to this, because, you know, I find that a lot of people, when they ditch the, they've probably been drinking for years and years and years, and it's been their main focus. And if they're anything like me, they would have thought that all this stuff, yeah, it's all very well and good, but it doesn't affect me. It's not about me, because poor old me. But, you know, if they are just kind of finding that they're emerging from perhaps drinking for years and years, and things are starting to make a little bit more sense, but they're in the really early stages of knowing how to do this stuff, you know, what would be your kind of tips for starting out?
Don't forget, I still like my wine and I still drink my wine. But I would just point that out. It's not that I've stopped drinking. I haven't, but I don't drink for negative reasons. Mm-hmm. I still you know, and have done. But I think whatever's going on in our life is be really mindful of what language we use, because people say, I'm bored, I'm depressed, I'm desperate. Every thought we think, every word we speak affects us at the quantum level.
Yeah, absolutely.
And is also heard by every cell in our body.
Mm. So and we tell ourselves stories, don't we? It's really true. And yeah, and the language we use. I had a client the other day, actually, who just kept saying to me, well, I've done all the work, I've read all the books, I've done all the courses, but I can't make it stick. You know, and I don't know how many times she told me that. It has become her story that she knows it all, but she can't make it stick. That was her story.
One of my favorite phrases, it's no point knowing what to do, you've got to do what you know. And apply this stuff into your life. And it does take effort. We do, I think the number one starting point, we've got to take 100% responsibility and want to change.
Yeah,
I would say to people, never force anyone to come and see me. You've got to be ready to want to take responsibility and realize anything is possible. But if we want to be good at anything, we've got to practice and train.
Yeah.
And this includes in our mind. And repetition, repetition, repetition sounds boring, but that's how we learn new things. I try and say to people, just see it that you've got into the habit of thinking negatively.
Mm.
And it's just taking, I mean, I try and explain it all, but even things like just waking up in the morning, deliberately focus on the things you've got to be grateful for.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just about to ask you about morning routine, actually, because I do think that, you know, when everything feels very negative, you nearly always find that people, if they're anything like I used to be, you know, kind of just kind of crawl out of bed, and immediately the very first thoughts are, oh, everything's crap and I didn't sleep very well, or I'm hungover, or oh, this is going to be awful and that's going to be awful, and then you reach immediately for your phone or a computer, and then you're straight into everyone else's stuff, and in the current climate, you know, if you switch on mainstream media, for God's sake, you're immediately in a place of absolute fear. So you can see why that's not going to be a great start to the day, right?
Yeah, you've got to, if we carry on doing this, what, do you ever read any of Joe Dispenza's stuff? Because of course I mentioned in my book, he's
a neuroscientist,
great guy. He said, before you know it, your familiar past will be your predictable future, because you just keep doing the same old thing. So we've got to start to do lots of little tiny steps in the now, lots of different tiny, you know, changing a habit and doing something different. Just tiny steps. If we go into overwhelm, we don't do anything different, because I think I'm never going to achieve that. But I think when we're in that sleepy state in the morning is when we're in what we call alpha brainwave state. And that is when the door is open to the subconscious mind. And that's a really powerful time to not go, like I used to think, oh my God, what's today going to bring? Yeah. It's going to be hell. To think, okay, I'd have little post-it notes by my bedside and just said, be grateful, think love, sort of thing. So I would deliberately plant thoughts of love for my children, even simple things like being snuggled up in my bed and warm, because my fear was I was going to be homeless, but I was not actually homeless. I've since met people that have actually been homeless. So, you know, there's always someone worse off. The other thing, one little phrase right at the start that helped me so much was, my thoughts create my future. Now that was all those years back, long before I knew the power of this stuff, but my thoughts create my future. And I thought, wow, all I'm thinking about is, and visualizing, is I'm going to be homeless. And I visualize myself on the side of the roads with my kids. So whatever it is, whatever is going on in anyone's life right now, if we've got to start to deliberately visualize what we want, not what we don't want.
Absolutely.
As Albert Einstein said, our imagination is our preview of life's coming attractions.
Yeah, I love that phrase. I really do. Since training in NLP, there was one little, I know you've trained in NLP probably years and years.
I haven't actually. I haven't done a single qualification in any of this.
Well, I'm sure you know the technique anyway. But for me, when I trained in NLP, one of the little techniques that made such a difference for me, such a little thing, but and I share it with sort of all my clients, is what they call a clean setup. And it's just exactly that, really, that particularly when you wake up, it's a great time to do it, or just before a meeting or before anything important. And you actually just ask yourself, what do I want from this? You know, what do I want from this day? How do I want this day to be? Or how do I want this meeting to go, or whatever it is? Question one. But question two is the really important one, which is, how do I have to be for that to happen? So it's that taking responsibility piece, because I used to do the what do I want piece, but I didn't used to do the how do I have to be for that to happen. Then I'd just get pissed off that said thing that I wanted hadn't come to fruition, because I hadn't done the second one, which is how do I have to be. And then it really makes you think, well, actually, you know what, if I really want that, I'm going to have to be whatever, focused, positive, you know, etc. And then the third question, just to finish off this exercise, in case NLP practitioners are listening and thinking she hasn't done it all, is you ask yourself, okay, what support and resources do I need in order to be that way, in order for that to happen? It's great, isn't it, to have those few minutes in the morning to yourself before you dive into, you know, the mayhem, really.
Another little one I must just share, Janie, because obviously when I start to talk, of course, we go back into that time and it brings out, these are things I don't necessarily need to do anymore. I mean, I'm naturally programmed now and hardwired to be grateful. Yeah. That's where I've been working for many years. But the other thing I learned off Zig Ziglar, he's passed away now, one of the traditional old American personal development guys. He had a book called See You at the Top. And what he would do, and I absolutely did it, if I'd wake up, even once I'd done a bit of gratitude, if I'd sit on the edge of my bed and still feel, oh God, you know, having a moment of feeling a bit sorry for myself, I'd think, come on. And I'd sit on the edge of my bed. I wrote about this one in my first book, which is Love Life, Live Life. And I would clap my hands and go, goody, goody, goody. What exciting things has the universe in store for me today?
Yeah, I love it.
And do you know what? It shifted my energy straight away. I'd laugh at myself. The number of people that have said to me, oh, if I'm having a bad day, I do my goody, goody, you know. But it shifts your vibration.
It's just that childlike quality, isn't it, really? Of you know, just being able to be playful, I think, really. Which so many of us have completely forgotten.
I agree. And the other thing, don't forget, I mean, abundance, bringing abundance of whatever, health, wealth, you know, love into your life, having that joyful, playful energy is a sure, and an energy of gratitude is a surefire way to bring, you know, this sort of thing in. But it's remembering one little key phrase, the way I feel in every moment is what I'm creating.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of people, they know this stuff. They know what to do. They might have an hour in the morning of maybe meditating, walking out in nature, writing their goals down, a really good morning practice. But the rest of the day, they get caught up in the fear and the worry and the desperation. And of course, our predominant energy through the day and the instructions we're sending our subconscious mind and the universe are chaotic and fearful. And then of course that feeling is what we're drawing to us. So it really is a moment by moment awareness. What am I thinking? What am I feeling? And what am I saying?
Yeah. And then what about when people really, absolutely. But what about when people really do hit that, you know, that anxiety, which happens sometimes, of course, you know, what would be your tips then? I know in the book you talk about the importance of, you know, breathing exercises. I had a great podcast guest on with breathing tips, but techniques, but I do think that's key, because although we all breathe, of course, we actually forget to breathe properly, right?
Yeah, breathing, breath work. The other one I love, emotional freedom technique. I don't know if you've ever come across that.
Yeah, I'm trained in EFT, yeah.
Yeah, that really helped me. All I can ever do is share what's helped me
myself. Absolutely.
And that's what I do, share from my own experience. Mm. And there were days where I'd feel really angry, upset and fearful. Because of course, when you start working on yourself and, excuse me, living consciously, there is a transition, of course there is. Mm. And so remembering to use the tools is crucial. So tapping really does help.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So what do people get from the book then? Just give us a little rundown of what's in it.
Oh, a little rundown. So we've got, like I said, quantum physics made people might go, no, that sounds really boring. But I try and explain it in such a way that people understand it. Quantum physics, neuroscience, I've done a whole chapter on manifesting abundance, chapter on self-transformational tools that I find really powerful and useful. I do a whole chapter on why people don't get the results they desire, because I've observed that, you know, the fine tuning. But also just the daily, what I call the daily disciplines of what to apply into your life to make it a way of living. That discipline sounds like it's hard work, but it isn't. Everyone says to me, Sue, you make it simple. I think because I'm not trained in any of this. All I've done is share what I did for myself. And it's been a remarkable result. And of course, for all these years, I just share and people go, oh, I would say to people, I can hand you the tools, but you've got to pick them up and use them. And then, you know, anything's possible.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, I could chat to you for hours, Sue, but we'll have you back another time. So anyways, the book is great. The Power Within You Now, Rocket Fuel for Your Mind, Body and Soul. Do you want to give us your website then for anyone who wants to find out more about your work?
Thanks so much for having me on, Jenny. It's lovely to have a chat. My website is suestone.com. And I also have the Sue Stone Foundation, where I have people that have joined my team. I do a two-day training to be part of my foundation. So we're a collective group of people doing our bit to help where we can in the world.
Yeah, brilliant. Love it, Sue. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Just a reminder again then, if you would like to check out Sober by the Sea, if that's something that's possible for you, if you can get yourself to Southend in Essex, I realise not everybody can, then we've got a few places coming up. Register your interest if the dates don't work for you, and we'll put some others in place. Don't forget that I offer one-to-one coaching. I've got very, very limited slots, but if that's of interest to you, then absolutely get in touch. And of course, don't forget the Sober Club. You know, connection is absolutely everything. Just this last week, we've had three members who have come back to the Sober Club. They had been part of the Sober Club a year ago, and they've come back. And in all three cases, they've sort of sent me private messages saying, "Oh, I kind of retreated," in inverted commas, in the other sense of the word, and thought I could do everything myself. And of course, I thought I could moderate that old chestnut. But within, the space of a few days or weeks, I was kind of back to square one. So I'm now realizing I do need the connection. I do need the support and the accountability and the inspiration from being connected with like-minded people, and from being able to access, you know, all the content. So I'm back. So get connected, whatever works for you. You know, of course, it doesn't have to be the Sober Club. There are loads of ways you can connect with other, like-minded people. But do it, and always tell someone, by the way. Don't keep this, you know, massive thing to yourself. Tell someone, but tell someone who's understands, who's been there. We will look forward to welcoming you if you'd like to join us in the Sober Club, or even just getting your emails or your messages to tell me you're going to do this, because I love hearing from you. Make sure you tell other people about the podcast if you enjoy it. Don't forget that I have a book out, Happy, Healthy, Sober. Still waiting for the audiobook. It shouldn't be long now, I'm hoping, for those people who love their audiobooks. And I'll see you same time next week. Have yourself a great week. Don't forget you can DM me, you can send a message, you can follow me on Instagram at Janie Lee Grace, and just get yourself inspired, whatever it takes. See you soon. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by the Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability, and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.